to make concrete that what we need to do.
So you were talking about some 4.3.4, which I never saw in the.
Let me say what I did. So
okay.
So I went through section one, sort of a change the text to make it a little bit more succinct, and make some changes for section two, basically adding a few things. I would meant to add a little bit more things, but basically pull out preliminary work out of this. And so so we are 3.5 pages into our project. It's better than like 6 pages into it. and I didn't do anything with the 3.1 yet. I'm hoping that today's discussion we can sort of outline a little bit more. And I meant to put this preliminary work right after this because if we don't, people start to question what you have. I think this is a good
spot to
just after you talk what you're going to do and saying what you are already done and then start to talk about what you will do. That's what I'm thinking. For 4.1, I think I follow all the things that Raju put up here.
But that's just a very first part. It's
a shell to some extent, and then you pull out something there too from the one. But I think I like the structure in the sense what exactly the problem. I think we can be more focused and say, first thing we do is virtual time machine management.
Yeah.
So this has everything to do with time dilation, has everything to do with the resource management. So Ming will probably we can discuss what other things that we want to put here. And we can think about that further. Optimizing resource utilization, I get the sense that what you want to talk about is all this mapping, different load balancing scheme, and dynamic changing the time dilation factor in order to squeeze as much from the machine as possible.
Right. Optimizing resource utilization is basically just how do we make the best use of the available physical resources.
Exactly. Okay.
Right.
Yep.
And we have several optimizations that cater to that.
So one thing I pull out from here is the offloading.
I understand what you mean, it's
optimization techniques obviously, but it's a user conscious optimization techniques to some extent. I want this to be simulated, I want this to be emulated. This is more of a controllability thing, it's like user take control of what they want to specify. So I put it there not just for that reason. I put it there because there are other things that I want to say about all these symbiosis stuff.
Okay.
So let's carry on. So 4.3 is what I did so far. And one of the things that I say, well, about all this visualization, about the I merged all these things about the injection of faults. Throttled the emulation speed for inspection. All these things I merge into, this is a part of the experiment workflow. So basically you start with describing the model, describing the platform you want to run. Basically you want some kind of a sort of, that's what I've said, a kind of experiment workflow, and this figure needs to be updated. So basically you configure it, you use some what I call network scripting, and actually those things can put in the database, and then these things actually, this is very much like some of the systems, for example, Emulab, they have all these configurations set up.
Right.
And they, these are your virtual machine images. There are things that you will actually spawn your experiment on top of these machine platforms. And in the meantime, this is what we are doing right now, is using the scripting to do online steering and monitoring, and you can do visualization as well. So these are just going through all using the same thing, using the. So I put this all together as sort of saying, since we have you know, you have set of machines which you're going to apply all these virtualization techniques, and obviously we have all the issues of maintaining the system.
Yeah,
how this
is.
So I put something here, just put together. I lump them together, and then I lump the other thing together with this, what I call symbiotic simulation emulation. And so basically ask a few things here. So obviously I follow the discussion, you know, expect the capability of simulation emulation differ very, very differently. And so simulation is good for one thing, emulation is good one thing. How to actually put it together, these are the things that we are...
Right. So in terms of structure, I sort of... So we have 4.3, which talks about controllability, right?
Right, yeah.
And then inside that we have two parts, which is one is the workflow, describing the workflow,
yep.
And the next is the symbiotic simulation and emulation, right?
Yep.
So we could actually separate these out into two different subsections themselves, right? So 4.3 and 4.4.
It could.
And then list the individual research questions and solutions within each.
I sort of follow that. The only concern I have, I think I understand the one. The only concern is that I don't want to fragment it. The thing is that I only have one paragraph to talk about, for example. So this is your Bach data communication there. So you could separate that into a sort of a separate subtitle.
Yeah.
And it just looked to me kind of, it's better to put them together with, I would rather to, instead of saying, say this is 4.4,
mm-hmm.
I'd rather to say this is 4.4.1. I would just have a sort of a kind of bold title, a sort of a small letter there, and saying this is about this, if you want to highlight them. Rather than...
Because in each of those subsections, it seems like we are addressing, you know, we are proposing several different things, right?
Right.
And they put together, they provide this capability of specifying workflows, or
right.
They provide this capability of... symbiotic emulation and simulation.
Yeah.
I think that one of the concerns that reviewers had in the past was they were not able to see the challenges and the specific solutions, right? So we need to somehow highlight those.
Can I do this way? So I'm a little bit concerned about the fragmenting things. A little, you know, you have something to say.
We could remove subsections for subsections.
I guess I would follow the challenges and
solutions.
Solution.
That's the only thing
I could enumerate them.
Yeah.
Challenge number one is this. So
that's all I want.
Yeah.
Because I think making the challenges and solutions explicit will really benefit us.
Ignore that. That's one of the students getting desperate about failing my course. Very important thing to do right now. I think I follow that.
I agree with that. The concern about the fragmented structure.
Because the only thing I have is because of the discussion here is it's a consistent sort of a flow of text. You go this, and that's why you reason the second part, that's why you reason the third part.
We could actually do that for the previous subsections also, right? For the first two, we don't need those subsections. Each of those subsections gets
right.
Reasonable.
Okay.
So we could do
yeah.
your, you know, just list of challenges and solutions even for those first two.
That,
but I just want those challenges and solutions
to be very
identified
clear.
And explicit.
Yeah.
Will we address the how to petition simulation
and
emulation here?
Let me follow through this and then answer your question. So there are a few things that I actually talk about here. One is how to integrate a simulation and emulation. So there are different levels. I talk about three different levels, I guess. One is at the design of experiments. So you give me something, the simulation is do a very quick simulation is just a test of parameters, maybe, you know, try to set up something so that it, and then a simulation terminates and come back, and it's just a serve as emulation as some kind of, you know, you run it off and test which one is good and tell me, and then I reposition my system. So this is actually what I call the design experiment level. It's a very high level. And the other one, all the other levels are actually simulation, emulation, all, you know, get together. In that case, there are issues. For example, you can run a much more detailed simulation, but less detailed emulation model. So the simulation's job is, you can think of, if we have, you know, 100 machines, okay, one of the possibility I would say, I have 20 machines for all this emulation business, and then the other 80 machines for to crank out really hard numbers, you know, using a simulation to do the high accuracy, sort of high performance simulation. And once, so make sure these two sections are synchronized with another. And the emulation, because the emulation set up all these business about this conduit thing, that fast transport, so it provide higher throughput. This thing is not providing higher throughput. This is actually trying to crank the numbers. And somehow we can, at the model level, sync with this model and this model. And this model is it's less complicated, but it provides the tunneling of all the virtual machines to quickly, you know, you send something and it will be received, or it has a higher bandwidth so that you don't really bog down by the simulation itself.
Mm-hmm.
The simulation is doing all the things in terms of, for example, doing background traffic simulations. If you think about that, the very detailed level of background traffic simulations, it takes a whole longer than your forwarding foreground traffic, and it takes a lot of machine power to do that. So you can imagine that we can actually set aside a simulation model just to crank out, you know, the background traffic,
mm-hmm.
and sort of feed that into the emulation model, which is basically flip a coin or, you know, whatever it is, in terms of deciding how long it takes for a packet to go from here to there or drop a packet. And also there's a CBAP to
Yeah, so I think all of that sounds pretty good. So as long as we can say, okay, here, the reason we need this stuff is because of this challenge.
Because
right?
of, yeah. So,
because
so
of a certain challenge,
exactly,
and
yeah.
identify that challenge explicitly, and here's a solution.
That I totally agree with that, yeah. So
why do you want to
be more clear about what? So this is the part of answering your question about, you know, where, you know, who's deciding what. It's, as I said in the beginning, I think it's more of a question of, you know, what kind of setup, what is the question you're pursuing, what is the exact application you need. So I think rather than saying, you know, we have a framework so that you can say this simulation or emulation, which is sort of, you know, yeah, of course, this is what you're going to do. If someone wants the simulation or emulation, you don't have an optimization algorithm because you don't know the variables and what you're seeking to optimize. I think that was not a clear defined question, rather than saying, well, you know what, we actually look at all these things in terms of how simulation and emulation should coexist and help with one another. And that's sort of providing a more sort of a conceptual work level and maybe tie that up with some, you know, in the narrative later on with the case studies.
Right.
And that reminds me, I haven't done the case studies.
So there are two questions, I think, which one is this question that Ming raised, which is how do we map, let's say, some virtual network infrastructure with compute and network properties,
mm-hmm.
to the physical infrastructure. We need to sort of have some answer to that, maybe via case studies or maybe via some generic techniques. I think the last time we spoke, we said that, okay, well, actually, it depends on how you're going to use it, but maybe there are some general rules of thumb that we can talk about, right? I don't know. I mean, that is something that the viewers raised a question about last time. Say, well, how do you actually choose what goes, you know, which elements are emulated and which ones are simulated?
Yeah, to address that question, I think my thinking is to lay out the possible symbiotic relationships between simulation and emulation here, and then turn to the case study and say, we're going to say, for this one, this is the kind of way that how this is actually done. This is, in this case, this is how. So I was thinking, well, I'm not going to give more than three examples,
mm-hmm.
but sort of more focused on these sort of things. These are particular kinds of studies.
Mm-hmm.
So this is becoming a little bit tricky because I haven't actually taken a closer look. You know, I didn't think of it too much about the case studies yet.
Mm-hmm.
And what exactly do we want to say there? Is anything new there in terms of case study, or rather just use the case studies to enumerate the possibility and the possible ways of this symbiotic setup?
I think
because if you put there is a proposed plan, right?
Yeah.
This is what we want to do.
Yeah, I mean the case studies need to serve a purpose, right? So what is this purpose? One purpose that I see is to explicitly describe how the split between simulation and emulation components can occur,
right,
in specific scenarios, right? And ideally, we should have some generic rules of thumb to say, okay, here is a model for a virtual network experiment infrastructure, and you had to specify these things. You had to specify, for instance, which elements are more important than other elements,
mm-hmm. yeah.
right? And you need to specify which links are more important than other links,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And specify the properties of each of those machines and links. And then, given a physical infrastructure, I'll tell you, well, this stuff needs to run in emulation, but this stuff needs to run in simulation because that's all the resources we have support for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot do everything in emulation because we don't have resources.
Right. Yep.
Right. So that's the sort of discussion that I see missing in the proposal at this point. And the second thing is that of the virtual time machine management, where we talk about the independent scaling of CPU and network. I think that's another sort of hole that I see, which we don't have, we need to fill right now.
Right. So if we are to jump onto the case study, I think that the immediate after this should be case study.
Yeah,
so the focus is not the case study itself.
Yeah.
It's not what we are looking for, a new protocol or a new something. We just want to use...
We want to demonstrate how to use this research for doing network experiments.
More of an evaluation, or
yeah, more of an evaluation component than a, and more of a sort of example.
So should we fold that into evaluation as exam, or the other way around? Put evaluation as part of the case study.
Yeah, my sense is that we will actually be able to come up with generic rules of thumb when we start doing the case studies, and we say, okay, for this case study you do this, for this case study you do this.
Right. Yeah.
When we start doing it explicitly, we'll see there is a pattern.
Right.
Right. And then we can fold that generic stuff into the research part. Say, okay, here's the challenge. How do we split? How do we map virtual resources to physical resources? Right. And say, okay, here are our solution, because you know you can use some basic ideas to do that stuff. There was one question which the reviewers hadn't, you know, they had a concern about.
We need to find three good examples.
Yeah, if we start with the examples, okay, and work it out, and then I'm almost positive that there will be a pattern to say, okay, we are applying more or less the same rules in each case.
Do you think this pattern is something that we should put in this proposal, or you're just talking in general that we learn by ourselves?
I think if we put the pattern, that will answer that reviewer question to say, because the reviewer question was, well, how do you choose what to do in simulation and what to do
right,
in emulation?
Yeah. So, but that not necessarily have to be split up. This is what I don't quite follow is, I suspect, is I see it a little bit from a different way. I suspect that once we actually put this there, the rule of thumb is just a rule of thumb. There's, you know, people see this is the way that you will be able to use the system nonetheless, right? So these are the ways that we use this. But it's not a concrete contribution or something novelty to it.
That's right. It still depends on the examples.
Right.
Given how general, they can be.
Right.
We try to try to generalize them as much as possible and see how it goes.
Right. So the thing is, I mean, we need to answer the following question. Let's say the user wants to do an experiment. He has a virtual network. that he wants to simulate. And he has certain points of interest. He's interested in a certain router. He's interested in a certain two endpoints and so on. Given that, how does he map these to physical resources? Does the system do this automatically for him? That would be the best case scenario, because then all that the user needs to do is specify this virtual network, specify points of interest, specify properties of various elements. Is there a way to automatically do that mapping? You know, for instance, one concern might be how much data flows between two emulated elements. I mean, if there's too much data flowing, maybe they should be co-located on the same physical host, right? Because the best performance is when two, possibly the best performance is when two elements are on the same physical host, because they don't go through a network, right? Things of that kind.
Right. So I could certainly actually come by, because we actually, in the symbiotic chapter there, I'm just talking about all these different ways of how, you know, you could zoom in. So one of the things is you're only interested in the larger network, a small part of the larger network. And that only interested in meaning there's a network that, you know, there are a few nodes all sort of physically located in that small region of the larger network. So rather than simulating, sort of emulate the entire network, so to speak, what I'm going to do is to just zoom in at a small part, but I'm knowing that the traffic going through this small network is pretty much, you know, dependent upon all the larger network behavior. So what happens is you're going to have a larger simulation to do the older part, and have the emulation to zoom in a small part, and only have the synchronization to carry out between the larger simulation and the smaller simulation on that particular, the state of that particular part.
Right. So that makes perfect sense. I think if we can, I don't know if it's even possible, if we can, I think it would be really value added to the proposal if we can actually, given a model, say, okay, this is how a model should look like, here's all the elements, here's all the links, and these are the points of interest at some increasing priority or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Given that, provide some sort of an algorithm, or, you know, you don't have to write an algorithm, but some procedure to how do we do this mapping, right, to a given a physical network with certain properties. Right. Because that would, I mean, we could say that the user needs to set it up, right? But a reviewer might say this is actually a hard problem, and you're saying that the reviewer needs to do this when he might not have the expertise.
Right. Yeah. So that's true. So basically, we're talking about right. So one of the things possible, I mean, and remotely possible, is to basically say, am I emulating this part? I mean, then there has to be something that will detect that this is only part of the larger system.
Mm-hmm.
And if you to follow this particular paradigm of synchronization or the paradigm of this symbiotic relationship, basically, we're going to do the mapping in terms of how to map this particular small setup of emulation. And the larger simulation onto this parallel platforms.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, there are also you could actually, I think, automatically be able to sort of identify the synchronization points between these two systems, because it can identify this part of the state of this subnetwork needs to be synchronized with the state of this network.
The synchronization is certainly something important, but I think that comes maybe at a later stage, right? I think a more basic question is, how do we do this mapping of virtual infrastructure to physical infrastructure?
Right.
I think that we can talk about that separately and maybe follow it up with this additional hints from the user, okay, where are the synchronization
points? This is everything to do with the load balancing and mapping that.
Yeah.
I think this is a good discussion. So basically, we can set up three cases, and let's see that all it's going to take advantage of not just the simulation emulation, but also, I mean, the things that we set up there, but also everything to do with all the previous things in terms of mapping, in terms of how to do how to sort of resource management, which part is where, and you know, which other parties should be where, and how to actually keep them loosely synchronized at least on a system to have a synchronized time frame. And so that you can actually be able, so we could use these examples to showcase the entire system.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire, all these challenges and everything.
Yeah, that certainly helps to make it more concrete. Otherwise,
to make it more concrete,
sort of abstract and maybe hard to understand.
And I could actually talk about the case studies and the evaluation piece there. So that. Terms of space that we can.
We could have a separate section for talking about case studies, right? I mean, that's
yeah.
What I
right, yeah, so that's what I meant.
Yeah.
To have a case study session and then say how we're actually going to proceed about this case study session, because case study is not necessarily a particular novel thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to support all the cases we are talking about previously, so the abstract things we're talking about. And so that we just use the case studies to pin that down. At the same time, talk about all those the project management things there as well, I mean, in terms of dissemination, or, you know, evaluation.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, in the proposal, do we already have Ming's figure? No, we haven't.
And that figure needs to be before we go back to section three, we're going to talk about that. My part on 4.3, I think 4.3 and 4.4 by now,
mm-hmm.
and put them separate and add a 4.5.
Or section 5.
Section 5.
Yeah, whichever word.
Okay, yeah, I think that's the name of it. On case studies. And so basically it's saying that this is what we wanted, you know.
We're using it both for evaluation and for demonstration,
yeah.
How to use it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And try to come up with something. Okay. All right. So that's okay. So let's go back to section 3 and section 4, I think, the beginning of section 4.
So I still have that question.
Right. So your question is related to different scaling, right? So
yes. That I guess the answer to that question depends how we actually do the scaling, do the load balancing.
So let's put that question again. So you have a machine which you want to have some power X and
yeah.
some speed Y or
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah.
And then another machine has.
Can I use the board?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you can do whatever you want. Sorry, yeah, it's been there for a while.
So it's dry.
Yeah.
Right, so yeah, a physical machine has, let's say, CPU. I just assume CPU and network are what we
right.
are interested in, right?
Yep.
So the physical machine and X gigahertz, so these are low peak. Was this physical machine. And I think on this physical machine, one simulation of the network has, let's say, CPX. And then this natural network, you have two verticals, VH1 and VH2. And VH1, you want to simulate a CPU with A and network interface card, VX with B. And on VH2, you want to simulate C, and say, C and B. So how do we do time dilation?
That word is what? That's the
this is the network. This is the motion network. The motion network on the entire physical host. The simulation program.
Yeah.
That connects these two virtual hosts.
It has the capability for the tunneling packet that the previous packet tells.
Yes,
it's going to use some CPU as well without the real CPU cycle.
Yeah, that's what I understand from the proposal. So you can have on the physical host, you can simulate the virtual network, similar to a virtual network, and this virtual network connects some virtual machine with the
ability that I want to put here is here. So it needs some CPU as well.
But this doesn't affect the scaling of the time dilation.
The virtual network doesn't have any CPU. You just have
no, it's not the CPU at the model level, but it's if you do resource management, you have to give the simulator software, so the simulator will pass numbers, right?
The question is time dilation, but this doesn't affect time dilation. Right?
These two numbers are associated.
Okay.
So basically saying that if you want simulation to simulate 1 gigabit per second, you have to give me the CPU of what?
So this,
right?
This decides this.
We sort of decided that, right? Yeah.
First of all, you have to decide what is the network you want to simulate, right?
Right.
That is all your objective. So this decides how much resource you're going to allocate to the simulated, right?
Yes.
So it's one direction.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But the time dilation also affects that W, because you might be simulating a certain network, but if time is dilated, then you don't need
exactly. Let's put that, Let's suppose
the simulator doesn't have time dilation.
So it's not linear.
It's a virtual
let's
time.
Let's suppose that the W is the amount of CPU it needs is proportional to sort of a, you can think of it linear, but it's probably not going to be linear. But it's going to be linear towards the time dilation factor.
How does time dilation work here in the simulator?
Say that again.
So I assume this is done by the simulator.
This is done in the simulator, right?
So how does that time dilation work in simulator?
Oh, well, that's easy. I just paste time at the slower
speed. But in the simulator, everything is artified. Why do you need time dilation? I don't understand.
No, it needs time dilation in the sense that it needs to synchronize. So it needs to have the same time dilation factor as in your sort of a virtual machine, right? So this is...
Yeah, if time is going slower on the virtual machine, it needs to go slower on the simulators, right?
Yes, but that's different from the time dilation in the emulators, the virtual machines. In here, you actually slow down the time when it runs. But on the simulator, you don't do that, right?
The simulator is just a program.
Right.
It's a program.
Right,
yeah.
But it has a time.
It totally controls our time, its notion of time. And so if you 1 second it takes 10 seconds, I can't go 1 second at 1 second level because the simulator will be so much time in advance, than you do.
Okay.
So as a matter of fact, I think this is something we can actually put down
in the proposal. Exactly.
Yeah, in the proposal. That's very good.
Yeah.
In the sense, so if I define W would be the. I'll put it this way. W is also. There is an error this the other way, also. The other way around is actually wrong. It's how much CPU you give to me, and how much of the eventually how much physical network capability you give to me as well. Let me actually use that X Y Z.
So for what?
So I use variables rather than remember what they thought.
Okay.
I will say CPU. Actually, just CPU you give to the simulator.
Right.
And also the network you give it to the simulator.
What does that mean?
Well, that means that you have to give me bandwidth
to communicate
to communicate the simulators
with the emulator nodes.
With other simulated nodes. So I do need bandwidth because all the packets actually need to be sent.
Mm-hmm.
So a function of this is how much throughput I can generate for the simulation. Right, and also how fast I can advance time. As a matter of fact, so
right?
So you're saying if the physical host has only Y, you cannot go beyond Y.
What?
If the Y is the network that the physical host.
I could go, no. This is a hard numbers. This has nothing to do with how much simulated traffic I can actually support. So this is Z here. What we do here is the traffic going through the simulation, right? It's not about the simulation itself can simulate how much traffic is actually imposed on the network, on its virtual network.
Mm-hmm.
It's you send something through the simulation. So suppose this is something you send through the simulation, and that requires CTU in terms of how I use the correct numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And if through the simulation, I actually need some bandwidth as well.
Mm. So I think my starting point is actually very straightforward. Okay, forget about this. So this is my specification. I'm a user.
Mm.
I want to use your framework, right?
Mm.
These are my user specified parameters.
Right, yeah.
How do we decide resource allocation and time dilation?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I still don't understand how do we do that.
I don't know. Also,
I think we have
to figure it out.
We need to figure it out.
Okay.
I mean, first, maybe we can start by assuming that simulation is super fast.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So maybe
uh-huh.
we can relax one of those requirements. Assume that simulation can do things really quickly,
mm-hmm.
right? Uh-huh. And just focus on the physical resources and the virtual machine. And the virtual network resources.
Yes, and we also assume that the bandwidth is isolated. No, simulation doesn't communicate with the other simulation.
Given
okay.
and just
okay.
given that, we'll probably end up with some time dilation. We might end up with some time dilation.
That's good.
Yeah. So let's start from there.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we can bring in, okay.
I think we can bring it in later.
Yeah.
I think this is, stuff. And I have to put it here so that it's disappearing all the time. Better pain. Because I go to class, I always forget. So you are, well, in this case, there isn't really no, so this Y means that you communicate with the outside world, right?
Yes.
But this has nothing to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
These are just the projected.
Right.
And this depends upon how much actually the simulator will be able to tunnel through that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So in some sense, the bandwidth that needs to be supported for each host is the minimum of, or rather minimum of the virtual network and its network interface capability, right? So I might have a gigabit switch, but if I have a 100 megabit Ethernet interface, I can only do 100 Ethernet, 100 megabits.
So here is the thing. Here is actually a thing that is simpler than that.
Mm-hmm.
So these numbers I can use whatever number because the network card there's no physical network card.
They're
all software components
mm-hmm.
in terms of how these things communicate with the simulator.
Mm-hmm.
So suppose this is the simulator, the aggregate throughput they can actually put on the simulator. So that means all these things that has to be smaller than that, right?
But it may not be, right? I mean, let's say that I have a really old switch and I brought two brand new machines with 1 gigabit interfaces and I'm connecting them to, 1 megabit per second switch.
But you cannot go beyond
the switch.
So in that case, the setup, this thing is setup smaller.
No.
Yeah.
So
similarly, if I have a really old machine connected by high speed, 10 gigabit per second switch. Again, you cannot go faster than these two interfaces.
Right.
So those two numbers are
important. What I meant here, these are the numbers you really use to communicate.
Uh-huh.
It's you have another one, is slowdown, that these numbers are the slowdown numbers.
could also be slow down according to
it's useless to say my model. I have a super fast switch, but a super fast car, but it's connecting to a 10 megabits per second. And the model checker would be able to identify that and say you are not a, you know, it's the same. I set you as a 10 megabits per second. So that could be done at the model level right away.
Okay.
So that's weed that out. And suppose these are the true numbers that the machine set up asking, the virtual network asking for the B and D.
Okay.
And in this case, basically, you sum up, right? We can use nice numbers, but right now, this thing must be smaller than Z, right? So this is on the same machine. So these are these have nothing to do with Y.
No.
This has nothing to do with Z. Right. And then of course AC are tied up with a real machine, CPU cycles.
Right.
So I have to put the time dilation factor here.
Where is time dilation?
No. This is time dilated.
Why do you have to dilate it?
So let me say, let's suppose these numbers are all not dilated.
Okay.
These numbers are not dilated.
Right.
And that means that I can handle and put real numbers here.
Okay.
You know, 100 gigabit per second.
Okay.
I can simulate really fast.
Okay.
And you come along and say, I want, 1,000 gigabit per second. I want 1,000 gigabit per second. This is obviously not going to be.
But the Z is also a virtual number, right?
No, this is a physical number.
That's why.
That's why.
No. Why is to the outside world.
Okay.
Okay.
There's a machine to the outside world. There's a real car. There's a Y there. Right?
Yes.
But Z is specified by the
simulator
user.
Saying, if you want to go through me in real time, I can, giving some W there. I can do as much as Z.
I can do getting
any packet from this virtual machine, get through me, get to that virtual machine as fast. I can do 100 gigabit per second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now it's your decision on what we're going to do, right? So obviously, ask for 1,000. So that means that things need to slow down in this case, and you need to slow down in order to not generating that real number of seconds, right?
Yeah.
So you have to apply, in this case, you can add up, you have to apply a time dilation factor of 20,
yeah.
Right? In order for these things to be able to connect it to that then. If you time dilated 20, then that means this thing needs to be dilated as well. So that means this number actually grow.
By 20 volts.
So this thing is times the dilation factor. This thing is divided by the dilation factor, right? Am I correct?
No, you just need one of those, I think. Either divide or multiply on the other side, but not simultaneously.
No, these are the hard numbers.
Right.
From the simulator point of view, let's ignore this. Simulator point of view. If I say I can in real time, I can give you 100 gigabits per second.
No, I understand that. I think what you mean in that equation is either have the division on the left hand side or have the multiplication on the right hand side, but not both.
Maybe you are right. I'm just thinking why is the case.
Because if you look at this example itself, what are we doing? K is 20, right?
Well, it's this. Yes. You slow down by 20 fold.
Yeah.
You slow down by 20 fold. That means you're.
And then I can accommodate Z.
You basically
divide by 20. Yeah. And that has to be less than Z.
That's Z. But what Z is doing? If you slow down by 20, the simulator is going to do the same.
Yeah. What is this equation? This equation is to tell me what K should be because I know B, D, and Z. I don't know K.
No, yes. But what I'm saying is, since you now you take 20, everybody is actually generating 1,000 divided by 20. Right?
But this equation will tell me what K is.
Let's ignore the equation for the moment. Let's suppose that we know the number. We just will apply a number. Let's apply this 20.
Okay.
Here.
Yeah.
So in this case, because I apply time dilation 20, you obviously your traffic intensity may not be this much anymore. It's divided by 20. Right?
Sure.
So that's good. So when you divide by 20, so in terms of real packets going through in real time, this divided by 20,
mm-hmm.
give 1 second, you can see that out of that
mm-hmm.
virtual machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my simulator now has a much higher capability because not only I can actually do 100 gigabits per second, I can do 20 times that
mm-hmm.
gigabits
yeah.
per second.
That's fine.
The reason is because I slow down by 20-fold as well. When I slow down by 20-fold, I would be able to accommodate
you can funnel 2,000 gigabytes per second.
Yeah, 2,000 gigabytes. That's what you want. So Roger is right. I mean, you cannot.
In real eyes.
Yes. Now you can simulate 2,000 gigabits per second.
Because I have more capable.
It's just two sides of the story. Why is it your because the traffic is slowed down.
Well, you mean this traffic slowed down? Or you just because my capability, I'm not talking about traffic here. I'm talking about the capability of the
capability
in real time.
Capability is the same.
Your capability is decided by a resource allocation that is defined, that is static, that cannot be changed.
Which is 100 gigabits per second.
Yes.
You cannot change that. You cannot go beyond that, right?
I need coffee. So let's let me sorry. I'm a little bit numb here.
No.
So I suddenly my time clock takes much smaller.
Yeah.
Much slower.
Mm-hmm.
That means every real second I can do 20 times less.
20 times more. Oh, 20 times well, in the end, all that you need to know is that you can do 100 gigabits per second.
In real time.
In real time.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And because your time is slowed down by a factor of 20, you're doing 2,000 gigabits per second in virtual time.
Yes. That's true.
Mm.
Yeah. So this
and that's all we need to do because
right.
we need 2,000 gigabits per second.
Is this how they use time dilation in the original work?
So right now you're right. Yeah. So even I do slow down time has nothing to do with how much work I can do.
Mm-hmm. No magic.
So this is not going to change.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So this is obviously I need to be true. In that case, and then
that can give me the value for K.
That'll give you the value for K.
Yeah.
Right.
For from a network standpoint, but now still we need to figure
and
it out.
This is one equation. So it's not, I think, how many variables there. And the K is that's K1.
Yeah,
K1.
Yeah.
For that. And then, and then you do K2, right?
K2 and K3, I guess. Because you need K2 for CPU of A and K3 for CPU of C.
No, we assume they have all the same time dilation factor. Otherwise,
eventually we need to arrive at a single K, but now at this point we don't know what that K is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because K1 is just because
the
time dilation
requirement
from a network standpoint.
Even for K1, we are assuming both of them have the same K1, but they can have different time dilation factors based on network, right?
They could, yeah. So that's I mean, that's because they have a same bandwidth in this example.
Yeah, but they don't likely have to be dilated to the same network.
So we have the equation, as a matter of fact. So this plus D
K2. Yeah,
yeah, that cannot be solved, unfortunately.
And the A K1 plus C.
I can just crank out what. And there is, this is a, first of all,
okay.
your B and D are not fully loaded. You're not sending B and D all the time, bits per second.
Right.
You could be, even though your narrow interface will ask for B and D, say this is a 10 gigabit per second card, this is a 1 gigabit per second, but you are sending far less, 1 10 gigabit than 1 gigabit.
So let's assume that those two numbers are actual peak utilization numbers rather than the network interface numbers, right? So the user must specify how much traffic actually flows through these. Maybe he won't know that, but he
Maybe
that's something. So if he doesn't know that, then we can use these numbers. But
so
if he
utilization.
Knows
that, so you're talking about is the. I hope I have another color. Okay. So what happened is you have utilization of this utilization. So there's a percentage of this, how much this actually can be used in terms of actually have to be smaller than that, right? So these numbers are dynamic, right? That's the first thing.
No, but I think you're making this problem too complicated.
I guess we just want to lay out what are the necessary variables and things. I mean, I'm not trying to solve this problem, obviously. So, but looking at all these variables to determine, well, if these are the constraints you have to abide, right? You can't have somehow sending more data with this thing is more than what simulation can handle.
But B and D already give you the upper bound, right? Why do you have to make it a variable?
Let me put it this way. So if you B and D is upper bound,
right?
The whole point is trying to squeeze as much resource as we want. Suppose we're not going to do this every microsecond. We're going to do that every 10 minutes. Suppose every 1 minute or some comparable period of time that you need to revisit the resource allocation of this machine. And you take, right? So, and you can readjust several things. You know, by looking at this, you can readjust the time dilation factor, or you can readjust the simulator, portion of the CPU.
To me, right now, the problem is I don't know what is the time dilation factor that everyone is using. It seems like everyone is using a different time dilation factor.
These are not time dilation.
Q1 and Q2 are time dilation factors.
So the question is, what is the overall time dilation factor?
I forgot that.
Maybe it's just the maximum of K1 and K2, right?
The real time dilation factor is super. You're right.
Maybe that's as simple as that, right? So then the question is, does it make sense to worry too much about individual time dilation factors? Because in the end, we're going to use the maximum value.
So you're going to use one for everything?
What?
One time dilation factor for all the virtual machines?
So that's my question. I mean, do we want to use different time dilation factors? If yes, then what is the implications on synchronization? If not, then we use the same time dilation factor, but we need to know what to use, right? Which time dilation factor to use.
Right, yeah. So that's the first tier of questions.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I need to go.
Yeah.
But you guys, I mean, you feel free to. I mean, I can leave my phone here if you want, and I can just catch up. But if you need to go as well.
Have you bought your lunch?
I'm taking my students.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could, let me see.
We can continue later if you want, but today is a little
crazy.
Today is crazy. I have noon time.